The Naval Academy is the nation's premier accession source for producing officers to serve in the fleet, in the Navy and the Marine Corps. So we're a four-year, fully immersive, or 100% immersion program for students who know for a fact that what they want to do when they graduate from college is serve in the Navy and the Marine Corps.
And so does everyone who graduates from the Naval Academy, do you automatically go into the either the Navy or the Marines?
Yes, you do. There are lots of different service choices within those two forces, but it's always Navy or Marine Corps, or maybe in one or two strange sort of circumstances you can transfer to the Air Force or the Army, but that's very rare.
And so what kinds of things, what kinds of classes would a typical person take? A wide variety, right?
It is a wide variety. It's a pretty extensive program of study. While we only do it in 4 years, we offer a full program that balances engineering and liberal arts. So the typical student who graduates from here in 4 years graduates with about 140 to 145 credits, which is a good 20 to 25 credits more than you might get at a different kind of university. It's a heavy dose of science and engineering mm-hmm. for every student, no matter what they decide to major in.
And again, because?
Because the Navy and the Marine Corps are technical technical forces, so every graduate's going to need to be able to operate in a whole variety of situations that we can't predict. So
one of the big challenges for you is there's been so much evolution, not only in the way you teach people, but also in the kinds of people that the services, the Navy and the Marine Corps, need. How has that changed over the years?
Well, you're right. The forces are always evolving. And we have to evolve the curriculum. I mean, if you look at the Naval Academy's program of study over the last 40 or 50 years, it is dramatically different now from what it was back then. And probably is true even if you go back 10 years, you'd sort of find significant differences.
And is this just, are we talking about you're doing some stuff online, or are we talking more fundamental than even that?
We're not doing anything online. This one is the Naval Academy is a full immersion program, so every
you are there
here, right? So there's no need to do what you imagine of as distance education,
right?
You know, it's all face to face instruction with faculty members. So the difference is more in the way in which we approach coursework, and in some contexts the actual courses we offer. We do a lot more hands on work these days in the science and engineering programs than we did 40 years ago. Much more practical-oriented, practice-based kinds of coursework.
And say even 10, 15, 20 years ago, it was focused more on theoretical?
Well, we still have theory in the program today.
Right.
We've had theory then. It's that we're trying to balance the amount of theory with the practical a little better and spend a little more time in the labs with the midshipmen, because learning is deeper.
Yeah.
When you actually are doing what you are learning. And that's actually true in the liberal arts as well. When you get into good discussions about topics and get engaged, you learn and retain the material better than if you were simply lectured to for an hour or more.
Has the kind of people who come to the Naval Academy, has that changed?
Well, the kind of people who come to the Academy are largely people who are very focused.
Yeah.
They're very energetic. They know what they want to do. They're hard workers. That has never changed.
Yeah.
What's changed is the kinds of coursework that we ask of them, and the balance of the amount of time they spend on various topics at the Naval Academy. But I think if you'd find Academy graduates from the 40s and the 50s and the 60s, they'd all impress you just the same as the Academy grads of today. They're all very dedicated individuals, very hardworking.
And I guess I always hear about these millennials, these new kids, these people who don't never have seen phones with cords, for goodness sakes. Those are the kinds of people that you're having to deal with now. And people, I always love that chart that they put out, if you're going to school today, you don't, you barely remember something that's part of our sort of DNA. That must be a challenge too.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. They come in with a lot of skills with technology that most of those of us who work here never developed. I mean, we have students here who know how to do all kinds of things with their cell phones. Most of the rest of us are just trying to figure out how to operate the basic dialing features.
Right.
But on the other hand, that's sort of a user-level perspective. They don't necessarily know the background of how the phones work. And so we teach them a lot of good basics of theory and practice that will help them with the kinds of tech skills they already know.
Yeah. And I know that the Naval Academy also will have a good friend of ours just graduated from the Naval Academy last year. He's now down in Florida at flight school. Mm-hmm. And he came from a small town in rural Georgia. First time he had ever been on a plane was when he came headed towards Annapolis.
Oh, it's very common for people to tell stories about coming from places across America, and their parents put them on the plane and say goodbye, and the next time they see them is Christmas or, you know, some other holiday. I mean, they, you know, you arrive at school here, perhaps with nothing but a toothbrush, and we take care of you the rest of the way. So it's a very different experience from the typical civilian college or university.
I want you to talk a little bit, because I know you're particularly increased the emphasis on this whole cybersecurity, cyber information, IT warfare. This is now a talk about a changing military work environment. This has now become a critical part of the military, and therefore it's a pretty critical part of the U.S. Naval Academy, isn't it?
It is. In fact, it sort of reminds people of the days in which we were making the shift to the nuclear Navy many years ago. That cyber warfare has become a warfare platform all by itself, on par with the other major warfare platforms. And so the Naval Academy is having to evolve to that, just like we did decades ago for the increased emphasis on nuclear power.
And we focus a lot on this station talking about change management, because large organizations can find change difficult. You're at an academic institution, and I know that that's change there also can be very difficult.
That's right. It takes a lot of time and energy to try to shift what you've been doing and doing so well for so long to try to meet emerging, and in this case, very fast evolving changes in the area of cybersecurity. That's a tremendous challenge to try to do that and do it on a time scale that will actually work for the nation's armed forces. And if somebody said, well, we'll give you 10 years to do this, I'd say, well, we'll have no problem with that.
Right.
It's just that 10 years is too slow for defending the nation. Most people, I think, would reasonably say, you know, we'll give you 1 year and hurry at that.
So how do you do that? Are there practical, because I know a lot of federal agencies are looking to do this too, and they're saying, hold on, I don't have 10 years. I have to be much more agile than that.
Right. So we've spent a lot of time in the last 18 months talking with the experts in the Navy and the Marine Corps, the opinion leaders who are helping guide what we'll do. We've been talking with them about the ways in which we can implement a curriculum and experiences in cybersecurity quickly but effectively. You know, we're not looking for the 100% perfect solution right away.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to let the perfect be the enemy of the good here. We're going to try to get something that works quickly and then evolve that and improve that over time.
And so
the idea is by next fall we'll be actually doing something in the curriculum, and that will already have taken 2 years to develop just to get to that point.
And literally, not literally, but walk us through the steps that it goes to between saying, okay, we need to do this, and it ending up in the curriculum. What happens in that period?
Well,
a bozo like me says, 2 years? Why does it take 2 years? You just put together a curriculum and go forward. That, of course, is my dumb guy voice. So it takes, there's stuff that happened between that decision and actually implementing it.
Right. Well, you know, much of that time is making sure that what we're proposing to do will actually meet the needs of the Navy and Marine Corps. And to do that, you have to take the time to go ask the people serving in the Navy and the Marine Corps what it is they want of us. You know, what are the kinds of things that we should be teaching and doing at the Naval Academy that serve their needs? It's not enough to just sit at the Naval Academy and imagine what you think the armed forces should be doing. We actually need to do what they want. And we have to make sure that what we do is going to actually work here. I mean, we have a lot of constituents that we're trying to satisfy here. I mean, we still do have to put out folks who are going to be pilots and who are going to drive nuclear submarines and drive ships. I mean, we're not changing the entire focus to cyber. We're trying to add an element while still supporting to the greatest extent possible all of the other warfare specialties that are available in the service. And to do that with still just 24 hours in a day for every student is really quite a trick. You know, we could really do harm if we simply add too much without being conscious about what we're already demanding of everyone.
Yeah, the horrible timepiece that many of us still wear on our arms, which just you still only have 20. Doesn't matter how you do it. There's still only 24 hours in a day.
Right, and you know, it's like you said earlier, change is difficult. It's very hard to look at a program, whether it's an academic program or something else, and easily identify something that you're willing to give up. if you could have done that, you would have given it up long ago.
Right.
So it's very hard to look at a program of study, you know, an all-day experience here, not just academic, but the physical and the moral part, and say, all right, we want to put something in, but what's going to go away?
We're talking to Andrew Phillips. He is the provost and academic dean at the U.S. Naval Academy right there in the one of the more spectacular spots on the planet, right there in Annapolis, Maryland. We're talking a little bit about making these change and bringing about when you add cyber in, does it touch all the, I mean, it seems like cyber is so all encompassing. Yes, you have people who are specifically going to be cyber warriors. But it also touches, I mean, for the nuclear folks, they also need to at least know something about this, don't they?
Right. Well, that's exactly right. And our approach to this is to follow that basic model. Every midshipman, no matter what their ultimate career interests are, needs to have some foundational experience in cybersecurity. They need to have some consciousness of the risks and the threats, and the ability to take some defensive measures or at least practice safe computing. But for a smaller number of individuals who really want to be warfare specialists in cybersecurity, they want to be in what's called the Information Dominance Corps.
Yeah.
Those people are going to practice this for a living, and they will essentially they will major in this. Now, it'll actually be a technical science or engineering major, but where a lot of coursework will have practical applications in cybersecurity. So there really are several levels. You know, everybody will have some foundational experiences and awareness, recognition level, and a small number will actually be what we will consider, as citizens of the country, the tip of the spear warriors in this area.
And are you going out and actually searching for people who you may not have sought out before, people who have this cyber expertise, people who have this cyber interest, I would guess?
Yeah, I don't know that we need to specifically do that. Most of the students who come to the Naval Academy have pretty good backgrounds in technology, and those who don't, we can easily overcome that. Mm-hmm. I think that the most significant factor in coming to the Naval Academy is your desire to work hard and be successful. I mean, that's, you know, if kids want to know what does it take to succeed at the Naval Academy, the answer is simple: a big heart, dedication to a task. You know, if you've got that, then we think you'll be able to make it through here.
And part of this Center for Cybersecurity Studies program that will roll out next school year?
Right.
Part of this is you worked with NSA, so you can actually get some education pairing with the NSA, right?
Right. We've set up a variety of internships for midshipmen to actually spend time at NSA in the summer to get involved in some experiences, many of them classified, that they would not otherwise be able to be involved in, and that's extremely helpful to them educationally. I mean, they almost all come back eyes wide open and say, you know, this was perhaps the best experience of my time at the Academy.
Yeah, almost scared a little bit to death, I would guess.
I imagine so, but it's another one of those things. I suppose when you see that, you know, those people who are really interested come back and say, okay, that is definitely what I want to do with myself.
And do you find that this cyber aspect, is this the biggest change that you've seen in the last couple of years?
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily the biggest change. It is certainly the fastest paced change.
Yeah.
The other change that might rival it in scope would be to embrace the critical language element of study at the Naval Academy. Mm-hmm. The idea that, you know, you need to educate, you know, our students for operating in a very diverse and changing world where different people speak different languages and have different cultures. That also was a very large step forward for the Naval Academy. And it happened pretty quickly, but you know, the pace of change of just the field of cyber itself is so dramatic that, you know, you constantly need to be paying attention to what the state of the art is in that.
I wanted to just get one little last thought from you on this change aspect, because it does feel like the pace of change. In fact, I'm reading this book called Consider, where the author actually says, hold on, take a step back, and we have so much data and access to so much data, we have to actually take a step back and occasionally consider things, ponder.
Mm-hmm.
I know that can be so tough these days. How do you, and particularly where the latest technology, you know, it's getting into people's hands faster than ever before, that has impacts on how you guys do your stuff. How do you deal with, how do you be agile, and how do you deal with this speed of change?
Right, that's difficult. As you say, you know, you can overwhelm yourself if you try to track every single change in technology. I mean, I don't know that you could physically do that. For us, the answer to that is we will continue to you know, keep track of what the larger Navy and the Marine Corps is doing, what their experts feel are the most significant, you know, educational experiences our midshipmen should get. I mean, that's a key point here, was we're training people for a lifetime of experience in the Navy and the Marine Corps. And so what we do in 4 years here needs to be relevant and helpful for 20 to 30 years of Navy and Marine Corps experience. Mm. In fact, in many cases, what we'll teach here in technology will be out of date within a decade of their time in service.
Yeah.
So we need to make sure that they've got the fundamental principles so that whatever is the state of the art in 10 years, that whatever they've learned at the Naval Academy is relevant to that. I mean, if you think about it for a moment, if you go back 25 years ago from now and ask what we were doing at the Naval Academy, you'd be stunned to see, you know, of course there wouldn't have been any desktop computers and certainly no laptops and no cell phones and no iPads and no internet. And yet we still have naval officers operating quite well in the fleet in that environment. So it's the fundamental principles that will make or break what we do at the Naval Academy in terms of how people operate in the fleet in the future.
And your mission hasn't changed despite all the other changes that go on. Your mission, the mission of the Naval Academy, has stayed the same.
Oh, absolutely. Create leaders for service in the nation. That's the fundamental element.